Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We take up where we left off on the broadcast yesterday in the book of Obadiah, talking about God's judgment upon Edom and how that was fulfilled in Edom's demise. Gradually, over a period of time, it didn't completely take place until into the New Testament era, but nevertheless, like all of God's promises, it was fulfilled. You remember that Edom had ascendancy over Israel in the early years of their history. And then for a number of centuries, there was basically rivalry between them, with Israel being ascendant most of the time, certainly under King David and Solomon and a number of the kings of Judah. But as Judah, of course, was weakened with the division of the kingdom into two parts, northern and southern kingdom, then the military might of Judah was diminished, and their superiority over Edom was likewise diminished. And so there was a bit of back and forth where, for at times, Edom was under the subjugation of Israel, and other times when they were independent of Israel. But eventually the time came when Israel itself came under God's judgment in the Babylonian captivity, and when Babylon came, and I believe that's the enemy that is referred to in the book of Obadiah, though it is not identified, and we talked about that many broadcasts ago when we were talking about the introduction to the book of Obadiah and how there are actually four possible invasions of Israel that could be referred to here, but in my mind, it seems most likely to be the Babylonian captivity, the most serious invasion. And when that took place, Edom stood by and did nothing to help Israel. Now, I need to pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, May 12 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank you for helping us financially maintain this Bible teaching ministry on the air. Well, let's see. We're talking about Edom's culpability. And God says that the fundamental reason for his judgment of Edom was because of their violence against Israel and their siding with Israel's enemies, whom God calls Israel Edom's brother. And instead of siding with his brother, literally, more literally, his cousins, but they were both descendants physically from Abraham, and both descendants from Isaac, twin brothers Jacob and Esau, and their refusal to stand with their brother, but actually took up arms against him, in other words, violence against Israel, as the text says here, that is the reason God brought judgment. Verse 10, for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. And then, as you recall, there was the specific 8-step digression from simply watching the enemy attack Israel until little by little by little, going through the 8 steps that we've already covered in verses 12 through 14, Edom joined the enemy, took up arms against her brother Israel, and actually committed violence against Israel. And as a result of that, the judgment was pronounced upon her. And in stages, that judgment took place until finally Edom was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman Emperor Titus, because by that point she did not have any independent existence, did not have a territory. The people, the descendants of Edom, had intermingled with the Jews, and the Jews fell under severe judgment at that time. And Jews were scattered, killed in great numbers and scattered, and Edom was with them in that judgment. But when all was said and done, Israel was protected and preserved, though scattered throughout the nations of the world, but came back eventually to her land in the 20th century. But Edom disappeared. She was gone forever, exactly as the Bible tells us. Now, what are the principles of God's judgment that are revealed here? And we come to verses 15 and 16, where we read, "For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been." Now, that's an interesting section. The day of the Lord, the time for divine judgment, the term for divine judgment, the day of the Lord is that term, is near, it is imminent, it can happen at any moment. You need to be prepared. And the principles of judgment are stated in the verses that I just read. I will explain them and then go back and read the verses again. But the measure of judgment reflects the nature and extent of transgression. It is just. God's judgments are always just. The text says, as you have done, so will the recompense come to you, and so will the judgment come upon you. As you have done. In other words, the judgment is going to be meted out precisely as just judgment for exactly what they have done, no more, no less. God's judgments are just. God's judgments are never more severe than what is warranted. If they are less severe, and there are many times when that is true, then that is where God's mercy overrules his justice, his judgment. And the basis for that, of course, is the cross of Christ. But you can be certain that no judgment of God, when it is carried out to its fullest extent, is ever greater than the transgression deserved. As you have done, I will now go back and look at verse 15, "For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you." That's the principle. And then it goes on to say, "Your reprisal shall return upon your own head." The word reprisal there is a word that means the damage you have inflicted. Your reprisal. Another translation says, your dealings. And yet another translation says, your deeds. So, your dealings shall return upon your own head. Your deeds shall return upon your own head. The damage you have inflicted upon others shall be returned to you. It shall be a recompense to you. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. And a recompense is a word that means a return for something done. Retribution is judgment given in recompense. I'm using some unfamiliar words here, but I think they're helpful in getting across the point. Retribution is judgment or punishment given in recompense, and a recompense is a return for something done. So what God is telling us here is that His judgment is always a just recompense. It is a carefully measured return for whatever iniquities, whatever transgressions were committed. It is, therefore, and I'm going to give you another term now, retributive justice. And retributive justice is a just punishment carefully calculated to recompense for the character of the offense. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about God's general principles of judgment explained, broadening out from the details of the judgment that is brought upon Edom. The prophet Obadiah, now in verse 15 that we just are looking at, gives a general principle of how God will judge all the nations. And this is what he's going to do. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord upon all nations, not just Edom, but upon all the nations is near. As you have done, all of the nations, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal, your deed, shall return upon your own head. And then returning to Edom, he uses Edom as an example for this more broad statement that has to do with all the nations. That takes us into verse 16, when he says, for as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Now, this is a little bit, what should I say, a little bit challenging to work through, but not terribly difficult if we'll think about it. As you drank on my holy mountain, that you there is a reference to Edom, which Edom literally did. They entered into Jerusalem. We saw that previously. They went with the enemy into the gates of Jerusalem, which of course is located on God's holy mountain, and there they celebrated the victory of Israel's enemies over Israel. They entered into that. They drank on God's holy mountain. But this idea of drinking is a symbol in the Bible for drinking God's wrath or drinking the cup of divine judgment. And so what God is saying is, when you did that, when you went into my city on my holy mount, and there celebrated with your drinking, celebrated the victory of Babylon over Israel, what you were actually doing was drinking the cup of your own divine judgment. And as you drank the cup of your own judgment on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink the cup of divine wrath. In other words, Edom becomes an illustration of God's temporal judgment. Temporal judgment becomes an illustration of God's eternal judgment. So all of this is a declaration of God's just and sovereign justice. God's judgment is certain. It will come. It may seem long delayed to us in our time frame, but it will come. It is certain, it is just, it is thorough. That's the way God's judgment was upon Edom, meted out carefully, exactly, for the transgression she committed, and it was thorough. It took several centuries before it was completely completed, is the only word that comes to my mind at the moment, completely finished. But when it was finished, it was thorough. It destroyed Edom completely, exactly as the prophet said, even though it took several hundred years to do so. Well, we'll wrap it up there for today and come back at this place again tomorrow. Thank you for joining me. This is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.